If you'd like to turn with me to that well-known psalm, the 23rd psalm, page 555, if you're following in the Pew Bible. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As we continue to look at this beautiful psalm, I want us to focus on verses 3 and 4 and to see the Lord as our guide, the Lord as our guide through life. One of the things that strikes me more and more as I live is the fact that we all need a guide through life. Life is complex, life can be tough, life can be difficult, life is full of joys but sorrows also. And in all of this complexity, I find that it is good to have a personal guide. Sometimes when Kay and I are on holiday and we're in a strange place or a strange city, we decide to go on a guided tour of that city or of that place. And of course, a guided tour has its advantages because a guide will tell you the history of a place. The guide will hopefully show you the best bits of a city, the highlights. Maybe tell you the places not to go. The disadvantage of having a guide is that you can't just wander off and do your own thing. And being a Ballymena man, if you've paid for a guide, you want to get everything out of that guide. So there are disadvantages. You have to stick with a guide to get the value, to get the benefit of it. But it is useful to have that guide. And they give you a route to follow. Living in this world is much more complex than deciding to go on a holiday or a particular destination. Many of us think that we can go through life alone, that we can do it under our own steam or in our own wisdom, that we can navigate with our own expertise, we can make up our own rules. And to an extent, we can do that, but ultimately, it will fail and it will lead to trouble. It is much, much better to follow the plan and the rule and the guide who is our Creator. And this insight grew very strong in the life of David. And it was reinforced, if you like, as he observed sheep and how they behaved. He noticed that in many ways we are like sheep. We need good guidance. And like sheep, we can get stuck in bad habits. We can get lost. Philip Keller, in his lovely little book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, notes this. Sheep are notorious creatures of habit. If left to themselves, they will follow the same trails until they become ruts. They will graze the same hills until they turn to desert wastes. They will pollute their own ground until it is corrupt with disease and parasites. Many of the finest sheep ranges, he says, that have been ruined beyond repair by overgrazing, poor management, and ignorant sheep owners. And thus David in this psalm indicates that like a good shepherd, the Lord is the one who wants to lead us to good pastures, to flowing waters, to places where our souls are refreshed. And he continues in this line by saying in verse 3 that the shepherd king guides us in paths of righteousness. We said last week that in this picture of the shepherd, the Lord of Psalm 23 finds its climax in the shepherd described in the New Testament as Jesus. In John chapter 10, Jesus expands on this idea of himself as the good shepherd. It says he calls his own sheep by name. He leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them. And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They know his voice. Jesus wants to be your guide. And in almost 50 years of following him, I have found him to be a trustworthy guide. We call followers of Jesus disciples, but a disciple and a follower is really much the same thing. And as followers and disciples of Jesus, we need to trust him that he will lead us in righteous paths. Now, that word righteous is not often used today. In fact, usually we use it in a negative sense of self-righteousness. But in a positive way, it just simply means right, in right ways or in a right relationship with God, in good paths, in flourishing paths, in paths that please God but will also satisfy us. That is a righteous path. And Jesus invites us into this journey to share the journey on right paths rather than wrong paths. Last week, we looked at the fact that to say the Lord is my shepherd is to say the Lord is boss, that the Lord is master. And actually, that's very difficult for a lot of people to say. Tony Horsfall says, he is asking that we hand over control to him, that we give up our own plans, we begin to share his plans. He wants us to allow him to map out the way ahead. And this is massively challenging to us. And it is, frankly, where most people get stuck. They do not want to hand over the steering wheel to Jesus. They would rather do it my way. But this is what the shepherd Psalm is saying to us, that we will be led into places of green pastures and flowing waters and restoring our soul whenever we allow the Lord to be our guide through life. He will lead us in right paths as we seek to navigate life with all its difficulties, with all its temptations, and especially as we seek to deal with that unholy, but it's just quite neutral, really, but that triumvirate of money, sex, and power, that we need to ask the Lord, guide me, Lord, into the righteous paths as I seek to live life for you and as I seek to deal with these things. These are the areas of life where we are prone to getting lost, and especially as the world keeps luring us down dead-end ways and preaches a false gospel that entices us away from following a right path. Alistair Roberts and Andrew Wilson say this: our generation is confused as to the nature of true freedom. We think freedom is found in forging our own path through life, and in either being true to ourselves or striving to live the best version of ourselves. But in fact, they say, no matter how often we experience liberation from constraints, limitations, and oppression, we still find ourselves falling into new forms of bondage. True freedom is more complicated than it looks. And that's why we need to stick close to the guide. And Jesus is that guide, and he guides us through his word. The guide is external to us. It's not our internal guide. We're living in a cultural moment that preaches a gospel of self-actualization. Be yourself. Follow your heart. But what if your heart cannot be trusted? That's the message that keeps coming across from the world. Follow your heart. But what if your heart cannot be trusted? And indeed, that is the message of the Bible from Genesis 3 onwards. It says, your heart cannot be trusted because your heart is sinful. Your heart is twisted. Your heart is distorted. And it's, as Martin Luther said, it's curved in on itself. It's not glorifying God. It's curved in on itself. And so the Bible tells us that we need a guide. your heart cannot be your guide. First of all, you need to get your heart aligned with Jesus. You need to get your heart aligned with God's heart. And then when that's aligned, then you can trust your heart a bit more. And then the Lord can be your shepherd, and the Lord can be your guide, and he will lead you in paths of righteousness. The world we live in is complex. I'm reminded of the verse in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. When Jesus looked at the confusion of the crowd, and it says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And I'm sure that as Jesus looks down on the world today, it sees a world that's harassed and helpless and that needs a guide. It needs a shepherd. Again, John 10, Jesus says, my sheep follow me, for they know my voice. So we need to surrender our lives to the Lord and say, Lord, you know best. I want to honor your name. I want to glorify your name. I can't trust my heart. I want to trust Jesus first and foremost. David Gibson says, Psalm 23 tells us that true freedom is found along someone else's path, not my own. This is the fundamental lesson that the human race has to learn. True freedom is found along the Lord's path, not mine. And then we move into verse 4, where the shepherd leads us into paths which can take us through dark valleys. It can take us through shadowy places. Those dark valleys may be challenging circumstances of illness or relationship breakdown or job worries or even ultimately death. Sometimes to reach higher ground and better pasture, the shepherd would have to lead the flock through a dark valley or a ravine. And there was the danger always in these ravines and valleys that there would be lions and bears. Prior to his encounter with Goliath, David in 1 Samuel 17 speaks to King Saul, and he says this, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, I struck it, I rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, I struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Shepherds were not softies. They knew what they were doing, and sometimes, ultimately, we have to trust the Lord and know what he is doing. Someone has said that trust is faith in a dark place. Brennan Manning says, it may mean more to Jesus when we say, I trust you, than when we say, I love you. Let me repeat that. It may mean more to Jesus when we say, I trust you, than when we say, I love you. Tony Horsfall again says, it is easy to love God when things are going well and the blessings are in place, but much, much harder and more authentic to keep on loving him when the blessings have disappeared. We note in verse 4 that David uses the even more intimate word, you. We talked last week about there was this intimate relationship with the Lord. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. But here in verse 4, there's a little twist in the psalm, because now, instead of referring to the Lord as he says, you, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You are with me. And it is good to know when we're walking in the valley of the shadow of death that the Lord is ahead of us. He is with us. We cannot see him, but we sense his supernatural presence and his love and his peace. As I said yesterday, we said farewell to a saint of this church, Shirley Donaldson. And both Kay and I remarked as we traveled with Shirley over these last few months that it was remarkable that even though she was walking through this valley, that she was filled with a peace and at some points even a joy. She would even end up giggling with us. And it was just the presence of God with her. And she chose as one of the songs that we sang yesterday, a version of Psalm 23, the Townend version. which has that repeated refrain, I will trust in him, I will trust in him, I will trust in him. Commentators note that it says we walk through the valley. We do not stay in the valley. We walk through the valley to come to higher ground. Now that higher ground may be life after the valley. And that valley, that walk through the valley has changed us. It has made us a better person. We'll find it either better or bitter, because it's very rare to walk through a valley of the shadow of death without it being changing us in some way. But for some of us, we will walk out the other side of the valley, but it will be to walk into death and to walk into the nearer presence of God. C.H. Spurgeon notes that every word in verse 4 has a wealth of meaning. It says David walks, the shepherd and the sheep walk through the valley. Yes, I walk as if the believer did not quicken his pace when he came to die, but still calmly walked with God. To walk indicates the steady advance of a soul which knows its road, knows its end, and resolves to follow the path, and yet feels quite safe and is calm and composed. You are with me. And it takes faith and it takes trust to say that. And you will note that the central phrase of this psalm is, you are with me. And a lot of Hebrew poetry, the climax of a poem or a psalm tends to be in the middle. It's kind of Hebrew parallelism, where they start and they build to a climax, and then you've got the central phrase or the central truth, and then it kind of goes in a decline. But the decline is adding color and shedding light also on that central phrase. And that's what we have here. The central phrase of the psalm is, you are with me. And this is what the psalm is all about. He's the Lord, he's my shepherd, and he is my guide. There's a similar passage in Isaiah 43. This is what the Lord says, he who created Jacob and who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. For I am the Lord your God. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. We walk through the valley, and even though it should end in death, we emerge into the light of immortality. And then finally, David finds comfort in the rod and the staff of the shepherd for the sheep. The rod and the staff are the symbols of the shepherd and of his presence in the field. The rod and the staff are symbols of his authority and his direction and guidance. Ken Bailey observes, the rod is the shepherd's primary offensive weapon for protecting the flock from enemies, be they wild animals or thieves. It's about 2.5 feet long, with a mace-like end, into which heavy pieces of iron are embedded. It is a formidable weapon. The Lord guides us, but he protects us from the enemies, and ultimately the enemy who is Satan. Again, John 10, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me, I give them eternal life, they will never perish, no one will snatch them out of my hand, because Jesus has the rod. But there is also the staff, which helps to guide the sheep, and it helps to pluck the sheep out of holes and ravines when they get stuck. The staff could also be used to direct the sheep as the shepherd gently places the staff along the flank of the sheep and just gently directs the sheep into the right path. And David says, the rod and the staff of the shepherd brings comfort to the sheep. The comforting presence of the Lord is with us. He's looking out for us, he's protecting us, he's guiding us. His authority, his love, his care, it's all there in the rod and the staff. And even when we face the last enemy, death itself, he will safely guide us through. Do you know this, Lord? Do you know this, Shepherd? Who is your guide in life? Is it a celebrity? Is it an influencer? Is it your parents? It should be the Lord. He's your creator. Sadly, many, many people refuse to bow the knee to the shepherd. And sometimes even those who have bowed the knee at one point and said, Jesus is Lord, they've started out maybe on a 2-degree diversion. And then the longer they go on, they find that they're getting wider and wider and more separated from the Lord and his voice and his ways and his will. Today maybe is the day to return to him, to the guide, to the right path, to his loving, caring presence. John Bunyan was imprisoned for his Christian faith, and he wrote Pilgrim's Progress, and also a hymn has been formed out of that. He who would valiant be against all disaster, let him in constancy follow the Master. There's no discouragement shall make him once relent his first avowed intent to be a pilgrim. Whoso beset him round with dismal stories and do but themselves confound, his strength the more is. No foes shall stay his might, though he with giants fight, he will make good his right to be a pilgrim. Let's pray. Lord, as we are pilgrims through this life, we recognize its complexity, its difficulty, its confusion. But we recognize that you are in control. You are the Lord. You are the boss. And so today, at the beginning of this new week, again, we bow the knee. We say, you're Lord. Be our guide. Help us by your Spirit to hear your voice. This is the way. Walk in it. Help us to avoid the wrong paths, the dead ends. Help us, Lord, to realize when our own heart is leading us astray. Help us, O God, to turn to your way. Be our guide. Be our shepherd. And lead us into the paths of life. For your name's sake, we pray. Amen.